Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Truth About Sales, week number 6. I'm your illustrious host, Joel Rico. Thanks for being here. And we're kind of kicking into the fun stuff today. So today we're starting to take some steps forward. We've been going kind of easy and setting up some context. And now I'm giving you some power tools. Power tools today. So let's spend a moment just really briefly and just kind of get caught up on where we are. So in week 1, we did some 360 reviews. The goal of that was to find out if there's something that you're doing, some way in which you're being with people that's getting in the way of your sales, right? Maybe you found out that people think that you don't listen to them. Maybe people think that you talk over them. I don't know. Maybe people think that you're pushy or that you're have a self-esteem issue. Maybe there's something that's showing up, the way in which you're behaving, that's getting in the way. That was the goal of week 1 and the 360 review. And then in week 2, we did, what is their core value? What are their decision-making criteria? So that was for a couple of things. The goal of that was to cause you to start by finding out what's true for your client. What's driving their decisions? What do they want? What do they need? It's only after we find out what they want, what they need, that we can serve them, right? Until you find out what they want, I don't even know what to talk about, right? Then we moved into week 3. Week 3, we did level shifts. That's about meaning. So when somebody says this, what do they really mean? When you say that, what do they really hear, right? Our goal is to get us, you know, cleaned up and on the same page. Last week, we started presuppositions, right? That's the structure of assumption. What's being assumed in your language? What are you assuming from your client? What is your client assuming from you, right? How is that part of the conversation evolving? And then through this whole part, since week 1, we've also been focusing on probably the most important thing in this curriculum. We've been focusing on what I like to call the rapport game. That means adjusting our delivery such that it lines up with the client's delivery. Client's delivery. Well, one thing we know is that the way people listen is in a relatively narrow band. And how do we know what that band is? Well, we know by listening to the way they speak and the way they deliver. They're on a certain, I like to think about it like radio frequencies, right? If they're on the country western station and you're on the acid metal station, you're clashing. You're not communicating. So that all through there, we've been playing these, you know, every week, another layer, another layer, another layer of the structure of how to get in alignment with people, how to speak their language. If you wanted to sell real estate or whatever it is that you're selling, if you wanted to work and sell in Japan, you'd have to learn the language in Japan. You'd have to learn how to speak that language. So I believe that all human beings have a style in which they speak, and that style demonstrates how they listen. So that's the rapport game, is let's get in sync. Let's get in harmony with their style so they hear you. One quick example. I have a dear friend of mine. She's a productivity coach, at a KW office. Her name is Robin. And she just has this thing that she's really has a quick reaction to the F word. So if you're speaking to her and somebody drops the F word, she's done. She's not listening. She's processing her stuff. It just throws her into a tailspin. So what do we know about that? Well, that tells us that people hear the way they hear. Now, that wasn't the message. That was the speaker's style. Whoever was speaking that, whoever used the F word, that's normal for them. They think that's a powerful tool that gets their point across, that shows power, that shows emotion. Not her. Right? The speaker thought that was a powerful way of communicating. For her, it was an immediate way to shut her down. Right? That's part of the nature of the rapport game. Get in harmony. So they hear us. Why? Because the client's always right. The more we speak their language, the easier it gets. All right. So before we jump into some new stuff, which today is going to be a really fun and extraordinarily powerful technique, techniques, plural. So any thoughts, any questions, any ahas, any breakdowns, any cool stuff that you want to share, anything about playing the rapport game where you've had a win, where you're stuck, where you've whatever, any of that you want to share or question or anything while we're here. Star 6 on your phone will unmute you, pulls you into the queue. And remember, you guys usually unmute and go, Joel, 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 hey, Joel. My request is that you unmute and say your name. Everybody here knows my name. Let's let everybody here know your name. So hopefully they'll send you some referrals. So when you have a question, unmute and say, Fred Smith, Topeka, Kansas. Right? That way maybe we'll get referrals coming your way. So any questions, anything to share, any ahas, any anything?
Tina Perez from Fremont, California.
Awesome. Hello, Tina from Fremont.
Hello, Joel. I just had a quick question regarding the placement of the adverb presupposition. I noticed in your examples, always first. Will they always come first, or as long as we use that word anywhere within a sentence?
They're always before the verb.
Okay.
They don't have to be the beginning of the sentence, but they need to be before the verb.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Oh, easy question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I like to do them very early because I think they sort of set the tone.
Okay.
Right? So I could say, well, we could go ahead and sign the contract and get you closed quickly. Well, that doesn't really set the tone. We could say, we could quickly sign the contract and get this deal before somebody else does. Right? I wanna have it early because I'm presupposing that position. Naturally, all we need to do is sign the contract, and we could, you know, you could buy this house.
Okay.
And
I
like them early, but they must come before the verb that they describe.
All right. All right. Great.
Yep.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for the question.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Questions, comments, breakthroughs? Any ahas from the rapport game that we are playing? So the rapport game that we played last week was, did we do speed and opposite? Oh, that was last week. That was a week before. Any ahas from the rapport game? Have you found that you're doing better getting in rapport with people? Have you found yet that playing the rapport game causes people to want to speak to you more? By the way, there's a downside to the rapport game. What you will find, most people find it around week 8 or 9 it starts to happen, that you do an awesome job of playing the rapport game, and sometimes people don't want to stop talking to you. Sometimes you can't get people off the phone. Why? Because you've done such a good job connecting with them and having them feel heard and validated and understood. You sound like their friends. You sound like their family. You sound like the little voice between their ears. You do an amazing job of being in rapport. It's hard to get them off the phone sometimes. They don't want you to leave. I was at a listing appointment. This is a long time ago, 7 or 8 years ago. And at the end of the appointment, the people were totally tuned in and really paying attention. At the end of the appointment, they said, well, Joel, yes, we're really excited about this. And by the way, we've noticed that you're not wearing a wedding ring. Our daughter is about your age, and right? And they're trying to hook me up with their daughter. How's that? Why? Because I listened, I got in rapport, I felt like part of the clan, I felt like part of the crew. I took that as a good sign that they liked me. All right. Questions, comments, anything? Let's jump in then. So I'm going to reiterate this a few times, and here it is again, that I cannot promise you that learning everything that is in this course is going to be easy or automatic. I can promise you that when you are willing to commit to doing the practice, you absolutely will have breakthroughs in your ability to connect with people, in your ability to understand them, and move them towards their goal, which most of the time will result in a sale. So what does practice look like? Remember, you can watch all the Bruce Lee movies you want. That doesn't make you a ninja. That doesn't make you a black belt. What does make you a black belt is going to the gym, getting sweaty, practice, make mistakes, get some bruises. Right? You can listen to me blab on every week. Maybe you'll learn something. The goal here is that you develop habits and muscle memory. That comes from doing the practice. So every week there's an exercise in the rapport game for you to go out and take into the world and practice. Those rapport game exercises are strategic. They start and they evolve and they grow and they're in order, and they're in that order for a reason. So every week practice that one in order. And the same thing with the techniques. It's not imperative, like last week, it's not imperative that you master all of those presuppositions. What does matter is that you practice them enough, which is why I'm asking you to write. Practice them enough that they just become your habitual way of communicating. This is why I'm not a fan of a script, because the script proves that you're not listening. Speaking inside this construct allows you to focus, listen, be tuned in, pay attention, and communicate your message in this powerful context. So please do that. All right, so let's jump in for today. I'm going to set up a context. By the way, this is still your call. So jump in, interrupt, ask questions, anytime. So let's set up a context, and then we'll do a technique. So the context for today is intentionality, and suggestion. So, and confidence. So, what does that sound? What does confidence sound like? When somebody's confident, do they sound different than somebody who's not confident? I have a really dear friend that is struggling with some self-esteem issues. And the way in which they speak is really clear. They just give themselves away. And they wonder why their business is struggling. Well, I don't know, but would you, I know I'm new, but could I list your house? Wow, I would never list with that. I have no confidence in that at all. So what does that sound like? All right, so let's jump in. A couple of things to consider for today is we're going to talk just for a moment about the mind. You've all heard the saying that we only use 10% of our brain. Not true. We use 100% of our brain. We might have cognitive control over 10%. What does the other 90% do? Right? The 10% is the 10% that you use when you're solving a puzzle, when you're making an omelet, when you're taking, you know, when you're reading the newspaper, when you're typing stuff on Facebook. Well, I don't know, when you're typing stuff on Facebook, that's probably not totally conscious. But the 10% is the conscious piece that you have control over. What's the other 90%? A big piece of the other 90% is sensory acuity. That means it's the part of your processing that happens automatically. It's the mechanisms that beat your heart and heal your wounds and manage your blood sugar and produce the right chemicals to digest your food. That 90% is the subconscious. It's the piece that closes and opens your blood vessels. It's the thing that makes you perspire when you're hot. It's also the thing that has you process sensory acuity. That means when you're walking down the street, even if you're blabbing away on your phone and you're thinking about what are you going to have for dinner tonight and what about what happened last weekend and are we going to get that deal, right? That's what's happening with your 10%. The 90% is listening to your heels strike the concrete. It's seeing the cracks in the sidewalk. It's feeling the wind on your skin. It's smelling the things in the street, right? It's all of those things you're processing like a supercomputer. And most of those are happening at the subconscious level. The subconscious is way bigger than the conscious, way bigger. So I'm going to give you a little exercise right here, right now, on the difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. In order to do this, I am going to unmute all of us right now. It might be a little noisy. So before I do that, I have two requests. One, If you're in a noisy environment right now, please mute your handset so you're not interrupting everybody else. And request number two is, if you've done this exercise with me before, please don't ruin it for everybody else. Let everybody else have this experience. All right, so here we go. We're going to do a little word association game. I'm going to say a word, and you're going to say the first thing that comes to your mind, right? You're going to guess what I'm talking about. Okay, so here we go. See if I can do this on the mute. Perfect. All right, so when your kitchen floor is dirty, there's a tool that you use to clean the kitchen floor. It looks like a wig on the end of a stick. That thing is called a?
Mop.
Mop.
A mop. And the opposite of the bottom is called the?
Cop.
Cop. And another name for a police officer is a?
Cop.
Cop.
Cop. And what do you do when you get to a green light? You?
Go.
Go.
Oh.
Go.
Ah, you guys have heard this before. All right, so I'm going to remute us here to keep the line. I've done that exercise in a group, live group of like 500 and 1,000 people. And literally, that exercise takes 15 seconds, 20 seconds. And I get an entire room of hundreds of people to shout, what do you do at a green light? And they all yell, stop. Why? Why do they all stop? Because we just set up mop, top, cop, right? And so they take the next thing that rhymes, because the subconscious mind is, the conscious mind is looking for patterns. Let me say that again. The conscious mind looks for patterns. The conscious mind takes the next thing that rhymes, stop, even though it's a green light. The subconscious mind looks for anomalies. Subconscious mind wants to find what's different. So that's what we're going to capitalize on. What does it mean? A couple of questions in your handout here. Question number two says, what does it mean that the subconscious mind doesn't understand the process of negation? Well, whatever you do right now, under no circumstances, do not think of a blue camel. Don't think of a blue camel. Right, you have to think of a blue camel in order to move it to the side. The subconscious mind does not understand the concept of no. The subconscious mind only understands what's known as the absolute value, the subject, blue camel. The conscious mind, yes, no, good, bad, right, wrong. Subconscious mind only grabs the subject. So, what's so significant about this is I'd like to enroll you in the question of, are you speaking most about that which you want, or are you speaking most about that which you don't want? If you think buyers are liars and people are full of crap, I don't know, what do you think you're going to get more of? Right? You're going to be aligned with those things that you think are realities. So just a few examples about being intentional. You know, you could say, I don't want it to rain. God, I hate it when it rains. Ugh, God, I hate the rain. How does it feel to say, oh, I don't like that? Doesn't feel very good, does it? How does it feel to say, you know what, I love it when I like it to be sunny. I like the warm, sunny, I like that. Even if it's dumping rain outside, I love it when it's sunny. How does that feel? Well, it feels better to talk about what I want than what I don't want. How about if instead of, I don't like it to rain, how about instead of, hey, I love it when it's sunny, how about, wow, the clouds are starting to part right now. I see a little patch of blue sky way over there. Me saying this is not going to part the clouds. However, it changes the way I feel and the way I show up. This is called being intentional. So what do you say to yourself before you pick up the phone to lead generate? Oh, God, I hate this. This is the hardest part of my job. Is that how it is for you? Or do you say, There's some people out there today that need my help, and I intend to find them. Just some thoughts on intentionality and creating the experience that is your life. That's all. So we're going to do a process today, two steps. The first step is called the embedded command. Make no mistake about it, the embedded command is a hypnotic suggestion. And we're going to learn to deliver these suggestions in a structure such that they bypass what's known as the critical faculty. The critical faculty is the boundary layer between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. There's a little boundary layer there, critical faculty. And what we're going to do is we're going to learn to deliver these in a way that they get implanted and absorbed directly by the subconscious mind of another. Wow, let that sink in for a moment. We're going to learn how to implant a suggestion into the brain of another being such that they absorb it as if it's their idea. Now, does it feel like this tool could be manipulated? You better believe it. Do you think that this is already being done to you? Yes. Anytime I see a TV commercial, it's being done to you. If you watched any of the political nonsense in the last 6 or 8 months, it was being done to you. I'll unwind those in a few minutes. So, with great power comes great responsibility. The tool that you are about to use, I'm going to teach it to you the very best I can in good faith, that you use it responsibly and ethically. So just to make sure we're all on the same page, I'm going to unmute us again. Just to make sure we're all on the same page, I want to swear you all in that you promise to use these tools ethically, that we use them for acts of good and not to manipulate others. So if you would, here we go. So I'm requesting that you all repeat after me. I, and then state your name. So I, come with me. Joel Rico, I state your name.
I
solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
To only use my new powers for acts of good.
To only use my new powers for acts of good.
Okay. Does anybody not agree to that? Is anybody? I know this is not true, but I like to check. Is anybody not willing to be a part of that? Like, I'm going to use that to screw those people over. Okay, good. That was a good sinister laugh, whoever that was. That was awesome. All right. We really are going to be taking ideas and concepts, technically a command, and we're going to implant them into the consciousness of another. So let's start by what is that message? We'll get to implanting them in a moment. Let's start with what is that message? If you could implant an idea, a concept, a belief, a directive, if you could deliver that directly between the ears, drop that into the brain of somebody else, what kind of a message would you like to deliver? My favorite one of all times is feel good. What would you like to deliver? By the way, there's a big list of these on your handout, and by no means is that list all-inclusive. This is a tiny, tiny, tiny sample. So what kind of things would you like to have other people absorb as their own thoughts? Maybe sign the contract? That would be a good one. Maybe reduce the price? Maybe do it soon. Like, what kind of things would you like to deliver? Be a contribution. Maybe like that. Maybe drink more water. Maybe, you know, be reasonable. Maybe do your homework. Maybe study the market. Maybe clean the house, empty the litter box, call the house cleaners, mow the grass, right? Those are all things that I want my client to do, to take on, to have ownership around. So what about a for sale by owner? I don't know. Invite me over. Get another opinion. Meet with me. Come to my office. Those would be good. How about for an expired? Get another opinion. That might be good. Review the comps. Meet with me. Look at my marketing plan. Maybe. How about if you're being an investor? Maybe you're out trying to buy something, right? If you're in the real estate business, you should be buying real estate. You should be snatching it up when you see a good deal. Guess what? Guess who sees the good deals first? You. You'd be snatching those up. So as an investor, what should you be? What kind of a command should you be delivering to people? I don't know. Make me an offer. Come to my office. Give me a deal. Carry the financing. I don't know. Evict the tenant. Whatever. So what do all these commands, the structure, the delivery, all these command examples we just did, what do they all have in common? Well, in your notes it says some important characteristics of the command itself. Please fill these in. This is key. Number one is they must stand alone. That means I can say, sign the contract. And I don't have to say anything else. I can say, empty the litter box. Right? It stands alone. It doesn't need support. It's a complete thought in and of itself. It doesn't need support. It doesn't need help. It doesn't need sentence. It doesn't need an explanation. It needs nothing. It can stand alone. Take my advice. Sign the contract. Do it now. Bring your checkbook. Come to my office. Empty the dishwasher. Be nice to your brother. Shampoo the carpets. Right? They stand alone. Key that they stand alone. That's the most important thing. Also, notice they're all in the present tense. They're all right here, right now. Number three is they're affirmative, and they all have some kind of directive. I'm not saying blue house. Maybe paint the house because it's a directive. Paint the house. Call the painter. Choose a new color. Do it this weekend. Paint the gutters. Pressure wash the roof. Whatever. Directive. They all have some sort of call to action. Number four is notice how short they are. 2, 3, 4 words. Short, short, short. Do it now. Submit the offer. Now. Do it now. Short, short, short. And then lastly, by no means are these in order. Lastly, notice that all of these directives, all of these commands, all of the suggestion, command, whatever you want to call it, notice they're all delivered with a tonality of confidence. Do it now. Sign the contract. Notice I didn't say, sign the contract? Sign the contract. They're delivered with a downswing. That is the sound of confidence. So just for contrast, what's the opposite of that? The sound of not confident, the sound of uncertainty is the opposite of this. The sound of uncertainty is an upswing. Would you like to sign the contract today? The upswing is the verbal demarcation of uncertainty. Would you like to hire me? Uncertainty. Or would you like to hire me? Certainty. Should we list it at 275? Uncertainty. Should we list it at 275? Certainty. Okay, so the command itself is always delivered with a downswing, always with a sound of confidence and certainty. Even in the, you'll see in just a moment, even if it's a question, the command is always, should, notice this is a question. Should we list the house at 275? Downswing, confident, certain. All right, that's the command itself. Okay, before we get to how to deliver this command, any questions, thoughts, questions, ahas, concerns, upset, love letters, hate mail, anything? Nope, no questions, no thoughts, no concerns. Perfect. By the way, I recommend that you take that list, the small sample of embedded commands list, and add to it. Add, add, add. That list could be 50 pages long. Right, add. Okay, so now here's the structure. The structure of how do we embed a command into a sentence. Forgive me for the silliness, but this is the structure. It sounds like this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just talking to my client in rapport. Blah, 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 blah. Pause. Embedded command with a downswing. Pause. Blah, 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 blah. Finish the sentence. So the goal here is to practice. Blah, 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 blah. Sign the contract. Blah, 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 blah. And I normally don't have, so notice we're practicing. And so on purpose, I'm making the pause really big. I'm making the downswing really heavy. Right? We're at the gym. We're lifting heavy. We're practicing. This is the way that sounds. Okay, a few examples. Oh, by the way, how do you choose which command to use? How do you know where to start? Always start with your intention. What do you want? Well, I want them to sign the contract. Great, sign the contract is a perfect command. Well, what do you want? Well, I need them to, I'd like them to reduce the price. Great, reduce the price, perfect command. What do you want? I would like a listing appointment. Great, meet with me, invite me over, come to my office, set an appointment. Any one of those would be great. So start with your intention. Your intention determines the command. Then just start shoveling these commands into your dialogue. So start with what do you want? What does the client need to do in order to move towards their goal? By the way, if you use commands that move the client towards, let me say this again, when you use a command that moves the client towards their goal, you will meet little to no resistance. When you use a command that moves the client towards your goal, you will meet plenty of resistance. Fortunately for you, most of you are selling real estate, and you're talking to people about selling their homes. And so find out what they need and move them towards their goal. Their goal most likely means buying or selling a piece of real estate, which you happen to be able to facilitate. And when you do it well, you get a commission. That's very different than list with me because I'm awesome. Move the client towards their goal. So once you choose the command, simply build a sentence around your command. So this is what they sound like. Example number one just says, just feel free to invite me over, and we'll figure out what your house is worth and how much we can get you for it. So one more time, listen to the pause before, the pause after, and the downswing. And the most critical part is blah, 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 pause, invite me over, pause, blah, 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 blah. Right? So again, please feel free to invite me over, and we'll figure out how much your house is worth, what the buyers will pay, what kind of a check you're going to get when the smoke settles. Does that sound good? All right, that's the goal. All right, instead of me reading all of these to you, this particular technique, the embedded command, of all the tools that you're getting in this curriculum, this particular technique is the only one that is 100% dependent on your audible delivery. This particular technique is very difficult to use in writing. Why? Because how do I say pause and then say the command really loud and strong with a downswing and then pause? Like that's an audible delivery. If you do this in writing, like when you're writing your homework, write the commands in all capital letters like the example. Why? Because it's good practice. You're training you. If you write your emails this way and you write the commands in bold letters or block letters like this, caps, it's no longer subconscious. The magic of this technique is the way in which we're delivering them audibly. We're bypassing the critical faculty, and we're delivering these into the subconscious mind. And if you write them the way we write them here, it's no longer subconscious. So this is dependent on your delivery. So with that in mind, I would like you to read these. So who would like to read? Let's do a little audible listening and coaching. So who would like to read number two if you're willing to adjust the price? Let's have somebody volunteer. I'd like you guys to read these. Don't all
Tina
speak
from
at
Fremont?
Once. Hi, Tina from Fremont.
Wow. Hi.
So in the future, when somebody's listening to this recording, they're going to think you're the only one here. Awesome. All right, Tina, let's hear number two, please.
If you are willing to adjust the price, we'll get a whole new wave of interested buyers.
Good. So a little bit more on the command itself, the adjust the price.
Okay.
I want the command to, the command is the most powerful when its downswing moves like a flight of stairs. So it should sound like adjust the price. Dun, 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 dun. Like you're going down a flight of stairs.
Okay.
Do we try that one more time if you would?
Okay. If you're willing to adjust the price, we'll get a whole new wave of interested buyers.
Much better. Now, the difference between your first one and your second one was very subtle. And the difference in tone here is very subtle too, yet the second one I predict will be much more powerful than the first one. So you can really turn up the gas with these. Awesome. Thank you, Tina. Good job.
Is it possible to say the command too strongly and have it be obvious what you're doing? Or will it always be subconscious regardless?
Well, it's always possible to overdo it and overstress it. It's always possible. So, you know, I could say, but it's always possible. However, the threshold is much higher than you think it is.
Okay, good.
So I certainly could say, say again?
I said I'm always afraid of that it'll be, you know, too obvious when I'm saying it. Like, they're oh, they know what I'm doing. I did this once in a listing appointment, and I felt like, oh, God, it's so obvious.
and did they say anything about it?
No.
So I challenge all of you to continue to turn up the volume and continue to turn up the intensity on the command. Not the whole sentence, just the command. Continue to turn it up and see if you get caught. And if you get caught, tell them the truth. Say, yeah, I'm trained in some very intense sales techniques. This one is called embedded commands, and this is exactly what I'm going to do when we have a buyer coming to look at your house. I'm going to say to the buyer, I don't know, do you like this house enough to make an offer before somebody else does? Right? This is a sales tool that I'm working on. Tell them. Awesome. Thank you, Tina. Thank you.
Thank you.
How about a volunteer to read number 1, 2, 3? Do you have the authority? By the way, this example number 3
Hi, Alec from Los Angeles.
Alec? Hi, Alec.
Hello.
So, by the way, number 3 is actually me getting out of a speeding ticket. So let's hear number 3.
I really need this one.
Me too.
Do you have the authority to simply give me a warning instead of a speeding ticket?
Very good. So did everybody catch his give me a warning. Clean, downswing, confident, and a good pause. Alec, that was great. And did you also hear the pause? Do you have the ability to give me a warning instead of a speeding ticket? Like, feel how big those pauses are. I'm exaggerating them, yes, because when you're nervous and when you're in the line of fire, you're going to streamline over them. Great job, Alec. That was perfect. I have no coaching for you. That was perfect.
Thank you.
Notice everybody else. This one is actually a question. Huh, I'm curious. Do you have the authority? It's a question. However, a question is an upswing, which he did at the end. Instead of a speeding ticket, however, give me a warning, downswing in the middle. So I'm going to super exaggerate it. Officer, I'm curious. Do you even have the authority to simply give me a warning instead of a speeding ticket? Now, I super exaggerated it. That would be probably caught. But I just want you to hear the break and the pause and the swing. Okay, we have two more. The next one is a little save the world example. Anybody want to read that one, since oil is finite? No? None of you want to save the world? Really? It's going to be hard if I'm the only one who wants to save the world. Wow. Going once, going twice, no takers?
So I'll go again. This is Alex.
All right. Lay it on us, Alex.
All right. Since oil is finite, making the switch to green energy is inevitable.
Okay, good. Sorry, I interrupted you, and you missed the pause before.
Right.
One more time. Big pause before, okay. Big pause after. One more time.
Since oil is finite, making the switch to green energy is inevitable.
Okay. The pause was much better, and that time I heard an upswing on the command. That time I heard switch to green energy instead of switch to green energy. Like, damn it, I mean it. So one more time, way more certainty on the command. One more time, Alex.
Okay. Since oil is finite, making the switch to green energy is inevitable.
Okay, good. That was better. So the command was much stronger. And notice as the command got stronger, the pause before you started to compress that again. So still really good, right? This is a practice. So there's two things that we're practicing this week. We're practicing how to speak in the structure of commands, intentional language, directives, and we're also learning how to deliver them in this structure. Since oil is finite, making the switch to green energy is inevitable, right? Directive right in the middle. Awesome. Thank you. Any volunteers for the last one? The more you participate, the more you learn. Any takers? This last one, by the way.
Yeah, I'll do it. Matt in San Diego.
Oh.
Right on. Hey, Matt. Oh, hey, Matt. What's going on, man? Is this Matt Johnson?
What's up, Joel? Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, what's up, dude? Right on.
Going on.
So this All one right. that Matt is about to read is self-talk. This is you speaking to yourself, me talking to myself. Right? Your self-talk should be supporting you. Take it away, Matt.
Okay. So when I lead generate, I always feel better about myself and my business.
Right? So realize that speaking this way to yourself is programming your subconscious to lead generate. When I pick up the phone, I make money. When I call my clients, I find deals. When I lead generate, my business moves and I feel better, right? This is the way to reprogram ourselves. Nice job, Matt. Beautiful.
Thanks.
All right, let me throw a few more things at you. We have one more technique I'm going to sweep in under the wire, too. I take that back. Let's do the other technique now. Questions first, and then new technique, and then a little bonus for you at the very end. Any questions, thoughts, anything about this? I want to reiterate, I do not believe that there is a thing as a magic script. There is no thing that you can say that guarantees a sale, which is why I'm anti-script. There are, however, very powerful ways to communicate like this that move the conversation forward and dynamically raise your odds of getting a sale. So practice these and have these become the way in which you speak. So questions, comments, anything before I give you another one? Nope, I hear somebody unmuted. So is there a question there? No, that was one of the example people still unmuted. Okay. So the next technique is called a modal operator. These work together. Technically, a modal operator is a mode of operating. They're optional. Usually they're right prior to the embedded command. They do a couple of things. They make the embedded command more effective. They help set the mode of operating. They set up a context. So a modal operator modulates our experience of what we do in very important ways. So for example, think of any small activity and describe it in a brief phrase, such as looking out the window. So now say the following sentence to yourself and become aware that your experience of each of them, notice how these are different with each version. Particularly notice where your attention goes and how you feel. Listen to these differences. I want to look out the window. I have to look out the window. I can look out the window. I choose to look out the window. Right? Look out the window is the command. I want to, I have to, I can, I choose to, I need to. Those are very different. The mode of operating is a different experience based on the modal operator. So modal operator keywords are things like must, should, have to, need to, want to. So notice many of them end in to, have to, want to. And that makes sure that the embedded command is in the proper tense. It forces us to put the embedded command in what's called the present participle sense. Means paint the house. You must paint the house before next week. Notice I'm not saying it would be great if we could start painting the house. Why? Because painting, ing, painting the house doesn't stand alone. I can't say painting the house. I can say paint the house because it stands alone. So the modal operator helps us to be sure that the embedded commands are standalone. So a few examples, and then I have a couple of cool things to share with you before we time out. So a few examples with modal operators. The first one says, most people decide to, pause, buy now. Because we know real estate's a great long-term investment. So notice the decide to. It also creates a little bit of a break state. Most people decide to what? Most people decide to what? Notice it changes the way in which I'm listening now. You know, if you intend to, pause, make a difference, pause, for your clients, you'll want to sign up for The Truth About Sales many, many times until you master this material. In fact, you should sign up all your team and office mates too. Notice, intend to sets the tone, if you intend to. Now notice when I say, you know what, if you intend to, you're already thinking, what? If I intend to what? What? What am I intending to? Make a difference in the world. Yeah, I want that. So notice the modal operator changes our listening. Maybe to your seller. You know, if you want to or if you wish to sell this house, let's get it professionally cleaned and staged. Right? Want to, wish to. Yeah, I want to. Last one. I know that I ought to lead generate every day for new business if I want to achieve my goals. Right? Self-talk. Okay, questions about that?
Joel, Jonathan here from Florida.
Hey, Jonathan.
How are you?
Great. You have a very distinctive voice. I can always pick you out of the crowd.
Hope that's a good thing.
Well, it's not good or bad. Your voice has a little uniqueness to it. So go ahead, fire away.
So it seems like it's possible to negate your command with something that you follow. For instance, apparently if we study this course, we'll be able to learn a lot more.
Let me give you a quick edit. Yeah. Let me give you a quick edit. When you practice these, do your best to practice them as short as possible. All that long-winded stuff, fill in the blanks, blah, blah, all that takes away from the power. So you're going to do that naturally when you're in a conversation. However, when you practice these, practice them as short as can be. All right, Jonathan, one more time.
I'm going to try to do it. What I'm trying to do is say a command that negates the first one. So apparently, if we study this course, we should do well unless we don't study.
Sure.
I can imagine that coming out like that. Huh?
I said you're welcome to shoot yourself in the foot if you want. I'm not sure what your point or question is. I'm lost.
I guess my point is that how we end it or what we say after it, or do we have to be more conscious about where we go with it afterward? Do we have to be
sure.
careful or more conscious? Or?
Yeah, so you know, you could say something like, what was your command? Study this course?
Yes.
Is that the command you used? So you could say something like, you know, my business can really flourish. My business will flourish when I study this course, unless I decide not to do the homework. So notice, I also said, unless I decide not to do the homework, like I said I would. So that brings up, Jonathan brought up a very interesting question. At the beginning of the call, we talked about the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, only understanding the absolute value, and it doesn't understand the concept of negation. So, even delivered inside a negative, the subconscious mind only picks up the absolute value. So, I can say to my clients, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, under no circumstances should you take my advice. Let's look at the comparable sales. Let's see what sold and didn't sell, and let's see what the market will bear. What did I just say? I said, under no circumstances, do not take my advice. Let's look at the market. What are they left with? Even though I'm saying, don't take my advice, the subconscious mind is picking up, take my advice. Even inside a negative, the command still comes through. Okay, I have another trick up my sleeve for you. We got 5 minutes left. Questions, comments, ha-has, anything. There's no magic at all to this list of embedded commands. The magic is that you learn to speak and that you develop the habit to speak in terms of blah, 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 pause. Invite me over. Blah, 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 blah. That's it. How about this one? Listen to this example. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, we've already seen 10 houses. Buy now. You should have a really good idea of what will work and what won't work. The subconscious mind hears purchase now. One more time. We've already looked at 10 houses. Pause. Buy now. Pause. You should have a good idea of what's going on in the market and what you like. The conscious mind is hearing, you know, by this time you should know. The subconscious mind is hearing, buy now. Another very, very powerful tool. Oh, by the way, how is this? I said earlier, you know, we all swore in to use our newfound powers for good. So how is this used not for good? Well, you know, you could lie to somebody. This is how people cheat with this. They say things like, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, I can't tell you that I have a buyer because I haven't seen the house yet. That's true. I can't tell you that I have a buyer because I haven't seen the house yet. That is true. Yet it's delivered as if you have a buyer, right? That's manipulating. We're not going to do that. In fact, I probably shouldn't even share that example. I'm going to cross that off my notes. No more sharing the bad examples. Let's cross that one out. Don't want to put that in your head. So a very, very, very powerful way to use this, if there's something that you really want to drive at home, is to use the embedded command detached and removed in a quote. So what I tell people all the time, especially if they've heard of or they know who Gary Keller is, I tell my clients, look, Gary Keller, Mr. Keller, real estate mogul, Gary Keller says that you must invest in real estate if you'd like to someday retire. So invest in real estate is the embedded command. And if I say it, I can only say it so strongly. If I'm quoting Warren Buffett, because I'm quoting somebody else, I can turn the volume way up and deliver it with a sledgehammer because it's not me. So, you know, I read this article in the Wall Street Journal, and they had interviewed Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett said that you must buy real estate if you don't want to be a working slave the rest of your life. So who said buy real estate? Well, he did. And because it came from somebody other than me, I can deliver it with a baseball bat. I can deliver it heavy because it's not me. All right, quick bonus for you. Here's the bonus round. So for your home play, write 10 of these a day. You're not going to write anything magic. You're not going to do it right. You're not going to do it wrong. You're just going to start to exercise and practice. The exercise is blah, 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 pause, embedded command, pause, blah, 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 blah. And if you're really committed to being a master of this work, my recommendation is that you add assumption and agreement. Meaning, you say, naturally, blah, 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 embedded command, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't that make sense? Agreement. So put in a presupposition, blah, 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 pause, embedded command, pause, blah, 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 tie down. Right? This is just the practice getting fluent. So those sound like, obviously, presupposition, if you want the most money for the house, we need to get it on the market, pause, while the market's still really hot. Doesn't that make sense? Agreement, tie down. Right, so practice all three of those for a little bonus round. All right, we are top of the hour. One last round. Question, comments, anything at all?
Tina from Fremont.
Tina from Fremont.
Can we also use this when leaving a message when we're calling and the person doesn't
Absolutely.
Answer the phone?
Absolutely. And when you leave a message, mirror and match the voice on the answering machine. If they say, okay. Hello, this is Lisa's house, then you say, hello, Lisa, this is Tina. Right? Mirror and match the voice on the answering machine. And yes, these work audibly. These do not work very well in writing because they're no longer subconscious. And then while you guys are here, really super quick favor to ask of you, the next Truth About Sales launches in 2 weeks. It starts on the 28th, last day of the month. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you've gotten anything at all good out of this training, please, please, please spread the word and tell others about it. I'm committed to raising the bar in the industry, so spread the word about this. Really appreciate that. Questions, comments, anything? We're 12:01 on my clock, so we're timed out. All right. We're at the top of the hour. Next week, what are we doing next week? Oh, next week, my request is that you be diligent about the homework this week, because next week we are bringing out the big guns. So come next week prepared. Next week we're jumping into the deep end of the pool. That's it. Thank you all for being here, and go help as many people as you can. That's it.
Joel, don't forget to get the recordings out.
Actually, the marketing people are doing that. They're usually out later today. If not, they'll be out first thing in the morning. They usually get them out by the end of the day.
Okay. Because I'm reviewing them. I noticed that we hadn't gotten the last few.
I'm going to meet them this afternoon, so I'll make sure about that. So we're hanging out this afternoon.
Okay.
I'll make sure they get up quicker. Cool.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for the update. Thanks for the update.
Sure, bye-bye. Thanks.
Hey, everybody. Thank you a bunch. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Joel.
Go help as many people as you can. Lots and lots of people are looking for a good, honest, ethical broker. Go find them.